Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagne. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. So Metallica just did this very interesting remake of one of their classic songs. If you're not familiar with the song The Four Horsemen, it's on their debut album, Kill 'Em All. Here's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Not a problem, buddy.
Such a great song.
So
one of my favorite songs, and I think that at this moment is my favorite Metallica record. I always say I kind of rotate between three or four of their albums as being my number one.
So you're on Kill 'Em All right now?
Kill 'Em All is, yeah. I'm going to have to listen
to it. And this is your favorite song off it?
That one and Seek and Destroy, I have to say.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many good songs on the record. But Four Horsemen's the one that really made me fall in love with Metallica.
So I wonder what you'll think about this, because next month they're going to release this recording of a benefit concert they did in San Francisco. It was an unplugged concert, and they did a country arrangement of The Four Horsemen.
Dude, that is amazing.
I really like that.
Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, yeah, I can hear some country influence, but
outlaw country.
Yeah,
it's old school country.
Yeah,
it isn't like Florida Georgia Line country.
It reminds me of the local band, the Stone Evergreen Travelers.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
and so it's just God, that's so cool.
I almost wish that they would go into the studio and do country versions of some of their songs and have it be high quality studio versions as opposed to. And still have it be acoustic, but sometimes when live performances, sometimes, you know, you just, it's more fun when you see it live, but the performances don't necessarily, it's not, I don't know. I just want to hear it perfectly.
I get what you mean. It's like a live performance.
A little more fuller.
Yeah. I agree. That would be, God, I wonder.
I don't hate it though. I really dug that.
I feel like they could make some money doing that. I mean, if you two guys are digging it, I imagine that maybe people would buy it.
Yeah, I'd buy that album.
Well, apparently they're doing, it's called Live and Acoustic, and it's a Helping Hand Live and Acoustic. It's a double LP, raising some money, coming out February 1st, and they're doing acoustic versions of their songs. So I'm curious to hear what some of the other songs are going to sound like done acoustic with those guys, because they have a percussionist performing with them, an organ player. It's kind of cool, a little bit different vibe.
So it sounds like you're getting what you want, just not the full studio.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like Hetfield's voice sounded really cool.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah, it really, really did. And I don't know, you know, Steve, I don't know.
You want to know what it is for me?
Yeah.
I feel bad. Lars Ulrich is one of my favorite drummers. But live, he is, I mean, even on some of the older records, he's just not, he kind of wavers a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be nice if they were in the studio where they could clean that up.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, put him a little bit more on point. And that's part of Lars's charm. I know some people give him a hard time because he's not technically you know, he's not a metronome, which no drummer really is. I mean, you're not a machine, but he's far from being a metronome. And I like that because it adds to the craziness of that is Metallica, and that's just kind of what the band is. He's a big part of it. But for something like that, I feel like he needs to be a little bit more rock solid.
And I wonder about, you know, just the voice. You know, I mean, how old is...
Hetfield's in his 50s.
Well, not so much him, but I mean, how old's the album?
Oh, my gosh. It's their first record. So we're talking 80s.
30, yeah, so it's 30-some-odd years old. So you wonder, can he sound like he did when that was recorded?
83.
Because he sounded... Wow. He sounded... definitely, it was a lot different just the way he did it. Now, I know, you know, they probably change whatever keys or core, however you do it, where your voice is going to be lower, which a lot of dudes have to do as they get older. They can't hit some of the high notes like they used to. But I don't know if that was intentional or if they just wanted to do a cooler version. I know with some other bands I've seen that. It's like, wow, they never perform my favorite song the way they used to. Because they can't.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's the case here, because sounded very different than the first version we just heard.
When I hear him live, he's always still able to
still
hit.
Can do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he's an opera singer. You know what I mean? Definitely it's a little bit higher pitch, but he's basically just screaming into a microphone.
That's true. But yeah, that Outlaw version was good.
Someone says, please don't ever play that Metallica country crap again.
Oh, really?
Sincerely, a saddened Metallica super fan.
Yeah, I'm not a super fan, so that's why it didn't offend me as much as maybe
that
did.
Well, the big problem is now that there's the country version, all the other versions of the Metallica song have now been purged from everywhere. So
yeah,
now you
right.
can't listen to that.
Can't go back to it.
So it's just, shut up, Steve. I listened to you talk years ago about Metallica. I've never forgiven you.
Oh, what did you do, Steve?
I don't know. I'm sure I've said something critical about the band. I mean, I don't love every single thing the band has put out, but I'm a big Metallica fan.
Wow.
See them every time they come. Look, I always buy their records.
You know, I agree with the texters when they criticize you on almost everything. But when it comes to music, I think that shots for that guy should put up or shut up. Because I don't know anybody who knows music as much as you. Maybe you and Ryan Castle together.
No, he's mad because I said something negative probably about Metallica at some point.
But still, if it was, you know, sometimes you can say things that are true.
I mean, there's certain things I just wasn't a fan of.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes...
And I think a lot of Metallica fans would not disagree that some of the stuff that they've done over the years has not been my favorite.
Oh, well, we've heard that. We have heard them. It's, yeah, just me, I know on the outside that not every album is well-received by Metallica fans.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, shut your mouth, Steve.
He hasn't forgiven me, BJ.
Yes, yeah, you know what? I live and die it.
What can I do to get his forgiveness?
Yeah. And I wonder if this guy loves everything they put out. Or if he's mad at you.
Including St. Anger.
Yeah, or is he mad at you because maybe you like stuff you shouldn't like from Metallica?
And I've even been the guy that says St. Anger's not that bad of a record. It's just produced terribly.
Yeah.
I just think the overall production of it is the worst.
Shut your mouth.
I know. That's probably what it was.
Yeah, shut your mouth, buddy. I don't know if I can do this show anymore. Look at Danny's already done. He's done with you.
Yeah, sorry.
So we shouldn't play the Unforgiven because he hasn't forgiven me.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Let's talk about this substitute elementary school teacher. Her name is Heather. She's in trouble for allegedly sabotaging the principal's party at a Florida park by dumping human feces on the grills and tables. This is a substitute teacher. Dude, substitute teachers... They are, I'm telling you, I don't trust any of them.
I know personally someone who's a substitute teacher, and yeah, he doesn't give an F.
There's a picture of her.
Well, her mugshot's not anything solid. She's not going to be on Mugshot Babes on Twitter.
Dude, I don't know what to say about, she's scary. She is literally scary.
I mean, I like to give substitute teachers crap, but my brother is one. He's told me stories. Like, apparently, yesterday he had a middle schooler tell him to F off to it.
Yeah.
Like, they're just little brats.
Are you sure it wasn't you and he just thought you were as tall as a middle schooler and that's why?
I mean, that could have been it too.
Wow, that picture, that mugshot, she's got the crazy eyes.
Yeah. She kind of looks like young James Hetfield.
Yeah, she probably, somebody should have told her to maybe visit up to me, because she should have done up her hair or something, because it's not a flattering picture at all.
She's getting arrested. So they're not going to say, hey, do you want to hit the bathroom and clean yourself up
first?
Get
your hair did, put a little rouge on, something. I mean, she's as white as a ghost in that picture. That's not a good picture.
What happened that led her to want to put poop, human poop somewhere?
Have you looked at her picture? I feel like this is not the first time she's done something crazy.
That's very rude.
Oh, really?
Just because she looks that way doesn't mean that you're going to want to smear poop on things.
Oh, I think that's probably... I would expect a lot worse from her. She looks crazy. My gosh.
I would love to know what you would look like if you had a mugshot.
Oh, I'd look amazing.
I'd give a pass to most people on mugshots.
Really? That shot right there?
Just find one.
She looks like she had a rough day.
Oh, gosh. She looks like she's had a rough life.
God, you're just an ass.
Why am I an ass? She's just put poop on somebody's grill. You know that to get from point A to point Z in that equation is a rough situation. And she's a substitute teacher. And we know that's not a great job. She's 40. She's 42. God, she looks 80.
She doesn't look 80. I don't know what you're doing.
she's turning us onto the side of the woman 50s. Who's putting poo on grills.
Why don't you marry her then, Steve? Well, you guys will have a great wedding reception with poo all over the food. She was seen with rubber gloves and a face mask around 6:30 in the morning on December 1st, putting a fecal matter around the pavilion, which was reserved for a birthday party for the principal's 6-year-old daughter. Wow.
So was she mad that she wasn't invited?
Dude, she knew about the party, staked out the joint, and pooped it out? Wow, she's had an ongoing, I guess the principal's had an ongoing dispute with the substitute teacher who taught her daughter's class. Oh, boy. Heather, this is the, Steve's new girlfriend admitted she did it and was arrested. Wow. Dude, I mean, what's the world coming to? I mean, I've been pissed at people before, but to go to their birthday party and just smear poop all over everything? I mean, my brain could never, ever in my life go there and do that. And I've been really angry at people in my life who I feel like have really effed me over, cost me money, cost me jobs, and it would never occur to me, all right, I want to go find his daughter's birthday party. It's poop all over the place. What the hell's happening?
Okay. If you're the dad, of course, you're going to be upset. You just ruined your daughter's birthday party.
Yes.
If you were going to the birthday party, would you not find that hilarious? Because I sure as hell would. Party's been canceled. Somebody smeared poop on the grill.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
I would have a free afternoon because nobody. What parent wants to go to like a little kid's birthday party that's not their own? You don't even want to be at your own little kid's birthday party usually.
So she's probably not going to get a job recommendation from this principal.
No. It'll be crappy.
Someone says she's a party pooper.
Yeah, there we go. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's a winner.
The party pooper.
Yeah. Why didn't they call her the party pooper?
You're right. They should have.
Man, the police really dropped the ball on that
one. They did. Yeah, they really did.
They dropped a deuce, actually, on that one. All right. We've got another former celebrity who's being job shamed. Because he got a job for providing for him and his kid. People are shaming him. I'll tell you who it is at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW,
The Rock of Seattle. Former American Idol co-host, and a lot, I wonder how many people remember this dude because it's been so long.
Dunkelman,
Brian Dunkelman. He knows that people are mocking him because, well, it was just released that he's an Uber driver. And you know what? Brian's like, I don't care. Dunkelman's like, I don't care if you mock me. He's doing it for his 5-year-old son.
It is a real sad world we live in that now, if a celebrity is not going to be a celebrity forever, more often than not. Like, not everyone's going to be able to continue to be successful. And he had a moment, and then it kind of fell apart, and he went through some issues. So the guy's got to pay bills.
It's a beating because he was part of what has become just a ridiculous, successful franchise.
Yeah.
And he got booted out early on, and it just and then Ryan Seacrest has become a mega skillionaire, incredible guy.
Yeah, I would think not even. And it's bad enough to see the success of American Idol that it had for a moment. But I think what's even more painful probably for him is to see the guy that he was neck and neck with. I mean, yeah. they were on the same level. And just to see what has happened with Ryan Seacrest's career, whether he likes Ryan Seacrest or not, the dude has been, he's got his hand in everything.
Yeah.
And in some allegations where it shouldn't be.
Hope. Brian Dunkelman says, quote, I chose to stop doing stand-up comedy and started driving an Uber so I could be there for my son as much as he needed after our life as we knew it was destroyed. Print that. And he's going through a nasty divorce. TMZ published the financial documents, and it sucks. It sucks that your stuff is out there like that because, you know, people really, you know, people just don't like to talk about their earnings, and they do put some pride or shame into that, unfortunately. And so
if you're going to be a story on TMZ, the least you could be is still making a lot of money from being a celebrity. Like, it's got to suck for someone like him where it's like, oh, great, I'm in TMZ, but it does me no good.
No good at all. I hope. We'll see, because you're right. It should do him something because, yeah, he's getting all this coverage, but he doesn't have any benefit from the coverage. But I will tell you, I love his answers. I mean, Dunkelman is really, to me, a champ of this story because they said, hey, he makes about $800 driving an Uber. That's what TMZ said. And then Dunkelman tweeted at TMZ, and I make over $1,000 on a good week, mother effers. I love that. You know what? Go for it, Dunkelman. I think, you know what? I want Dunkelman to win. I really do.
At what?
At life.
Okay.
Sure. I remember when he and Ryan Seacrest were hosting American Idol. I was not a fan of Dunkelman because I was there right from the beginning and I wasn't a fan.
You were Team Seacrest?
I was Team Seacrest.
See, I like Dunkelman.
Yeah. So when he was gone, I wasn't surprised. But now I'm on Team Dunkelman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he's
a lot
for the wrestling fans. He's the Marty Jannetty of the rockers.
I don't know what
Shawn
that means.
Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty were tagged.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. They broke up. So one went on to have an insane career.
Oh.
The other one has been in trade magazines, standing in the middle of a fountain in a hotel drunk on a cell phone.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, haven't seen that happen to Dunkelman yet, but you know what? There's still time. And he has a really good sense of humor about it, too. He said, one day before the story broke, he tweeted, quote, hey, my agent sent me an email saying this is going to be my year. Unfortunately, he sent it in 2002.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Other people have offered to help him out. He's like, sure, I'd love to chat as long as you're buying lunch.
I like this guy. He's unapologetic about it.
This is bizarre. You know who came to his defense? Maxwell House Coffee.
Okay.
I don't have any idea why. I don't know why all of a sudden Maxwell House is like, this is wrong and we need to get behind Dunkelman. And so Dunkelman's like, hey, man, you know what? Maxwell House is a damn fine product and I'd love to be their new spokesperson. He's also said he's a really bad Uber driver. So yeah, everything's going really well for Dunkelman. But I can't for the life of me think of why Maxwell House has decided, okay, this is going to be our guy. We're going to champion.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything on the internet that explains the connection between them, but...
Because you remember Jeffrey Owens, I think, was at the old guy from the Cosby Show who was job-shamed for working at Trader Joe's.
Things worked out well for him.
Yeah.
He got a pretty sweet job offer from Tyler Perry. Some people were raising money for him. And maybe, I don't know, man. Wouldn't it suck, though, after all this, nothing happens for Dunkelman? That would bum him out probably even more.
See, Dunkelman's not super likable. I mean, he's very funny, but, you know, Jeffrey Owens is a likable guy. Dunkelman was not. I mean, that's, I think, why he was booted off Idol. I don't think a lot of people thought he was a likable guy.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey has a nice message for Brian. You know, this Jeffrey Owens guy's a good dude, too. He says, quote, to say that I can relate to your situation is an understatement. Hang in there. Don't hide. Whatever you do, do it well and proudly. Then he throws a proverb in there, Steve. And I know you play drums for Jesus, so you might know this proverb. See a man who's excellent at what he does, he will serve before kings. I think you're awesome and I admire you.
How about that?
And that's from the Trader Joe's guy, Jeffrey Owens.
You think, like, Seacrest, I wonder what they're relating. You know, I would imagine that they just weren't buddies during all that. Because if you were, like, Ryan Seacrest, who's got millions upon millions upon millions
yeah,
upon millions
Yeah, you'd think he'd do something,
and
yeah.
you see this story, would you reach out to him and be like, hey, man, let me help you out?
I would. If I was neutral on the guy.
Not that Seacrest should or has to do
like you said, will you see where Seacrest's life has gone? Unless they hate each other, I think he'd reach out because it's like, it could be him. That's what I think. Sometimes when, you know, I take a look at how my life has gone, I mean, there are guys that are not working in radio that I feel badly about, and I want to help out because it could easily be me.
Yeah. Or do you think, and what if, like, Dunkelman was just a douche?
Yeah.
And he was a jerk to Seacrest the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's his character, like I said, not that I know anything about Dunkelman, but the way he just appears in public eye, I could lean towards that. I'm not saying he is. And the fact that he wants to help out his kid is nice, but he does seem to, you know, have a little bit of a, you know, Massengill attitude with his public persona, is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. So I don't know. And it is odd that Ryan Seacrest hasn't said anything or done anything.
Yeah, I wonder if he just doesn't want to be a part of it. Doesn't want to. I got to imagine that they were not buddies.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, you hear about it in bands, you know, where, you know, you go, gosh, no, that band is doing so well. Why don't they help that guy out? And then, you know, you find out that, dude, there's no helping that guy out.
Right. And then outsiders as fans are just like, man, come on. He was a part of the group for X amount of years. How can you just lay him out? You know, and you're multi, you know, trillionaires practically.
Yeah.
Like, you can't flip the dude a bone.
Not everybody can be like Gene Simmons, who will come out and tell you the real reason why he doesn't from other people in the band. Other bands are usually a lot nicer and more diplomatic. They might, like, you know, off the record tell us a few things.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons, I love, because he'll go on there and go, oh, yeah, no, he's horrible and I don't want him in the band.
Not just Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley as well. Actually, the entire band.
Yeah.
None of them have any issues with taking shots at each other. The original four, if you read any of their books, they don't really take the high road.
Yeah, actually, Aim and Gene and Paul, who have survived each other, like you said, and are still there, right?
And somebody brought up a point, and I forgot about that as well. According to the article I read yesterday, Dunkelman wasn't fired. He left to focus on his acting career. So let's be fair to the guy who made a bad decision.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I don't think that's true. I think that they let him say that, but...
You think he was forced out?
Yes. That's all I'm going to say, because I do know a couple people down south, and... He was not registering very well on that show. Is all I'm going to say. Now, whether they know if he gets to say he gets to, you know, and may, which I think is nice. It's nice when they go, let the guy make his own story why he's left. But to that texter, I go, I know that's the official story, but I have information that leads me to believe otherwise.
No, BJ on the inside.
That's all I'm saying. If that's the official story, fine. I'm not going
to
say it's
not
true.
It says decide to quit to pursue other roles in the entertainment industry.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Know-it-all.
Okay, no, I'm glad. It's great that he says that, but yeah.
One person brings up a very good point. How has Dunkelman not gotten to be a spokesperson for Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah. Oh, and they're just now called Dunkelman's. Like, they're not even the donuts anymore. They're just be Dunkelman's.
Dunkelman's.
Yeah. I hope the guy gets it back on, and you know what? The way he's handling the situation, I dig, so I hope somebody gives him something.
Or I just hope the guy can do what he does and people just leave him alone and not make him feel bad because he has to get an everyday job.
Yeah, whatever
it is. I think that's really what it boils down to. I mean, it just sucks that TMZ is turning this guy into, like, you know, trying to make a joke out of him.
Yeah,
and maybe he just wants to just do what he does.
That's so unusual for TMZ. They don't really try to, you know, have their success, you know, basically on the sadness of others. They don't do that.
Yeah.
You're right. Someone should talk to TMZ and go, guys, this is not like you. You don't do this.
It's very rude.
Yeah. I mean, really, this is not, you're low road in this, guys. Got a new study from Wallet Hub, found out that 34% of Americans. Vicky, what is that?
Americans.
No, one in three.
Okay. Oh.
Americans.
No, she is right.
She is right. 34% of Americans are indeed Americans. She does win that one.
Yes.
You know what? If I was a teacher and that was the answer I was given on a math thing, I'd be like, all right, I guess I got to give it to her.
Right? Not wrong.
Turns out 34% of us are going to return the gifts they received over the holiday season. I only returned one because it didn't fit me. I actually liked everything, but it just did. And I actually liked it, but it was just like I said to my wife.
A little too tight? Because you put on too much weight over the holiday?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it would have fit me anyway, but it surely would have been a better fit had I not put on the poundage that I put on.
It was a schmedium?
Yeah, it looked like a schmedium. I wanted it to work because it was a cool looking jacket, but I was like, I can't button it.
But you got the one that works now.
No, I didn't get a new one because it was at Nordstrom's Rack, and you know how it is. You'll never find everything in the size you want. Right. You know, if you're lucky, you'll find the right size for you. But it's not like going to regular Nordstrom where they got a ton of everything. So yeah, and it's too bad. It was good. It was a good deal. It was a good coat. It was a good name. I really felt good about the whole thing, and it didn't fit. My wife was looking at me, and she's been really cool because my wife is on this massive eating regime that's had her lose a ton of weight over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, you know, I'm in the other direction. And she still was nice about it, but I'm like, this is not going to
work. Maybe she should have got you some Spanx for holidays.
I know, that would have helped, I think, a little
bit. Tighten things up a little bit.
How about this? 68% of them, like me, returning clothing.
Yeah, I would do it for changing size. I don't ever, my wife sometimes gives me even a hard time. There are things in my closet and it still even has the tag on from Christmas. And she's like, why don't you just return it? I was like, laziness.
Dude, I don't understand what's going on with people that don't like cycle through in one way, shape or form. Because Sarah's that way with gift cards. I just asked her this year, I said, can I pay you for your gift cards? Mm-hmm. She gets gift cards and hoards them.
What's she waiting for?
She's a crazy person. She's like the woman with the money in the mattress.
Does she think at some point like our dollars aren't going to work and she's only going to be able to survive on these gift cards?
She feels safe. Like if all of a sudden, probably if I wasn't here and, you know, J-Rubs wasn't here, mm-hmm, and she was left to fend for herself, she could go to her stash of gift cards and support herself.
She's like, that $50 Target gift card is going to save her life.
Yeah, and so I've said they run out, and sometimes the stores will go too late.
Some stores even go out of business.
Yeah, so it's like, I'll pay you. I will pay you. Give me your gift cards, and you can take the cash and hide that. She still hasn't done it.
We did it this holiday break. My wife had a bunch of gift cards, and we went to Pyramid, the Pyramid Brewery, because we had one there that she'd had for like 5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did it work?
It did work. And we got a great meal, and then we went to Cupcake Royale because she had one that was, I swear, over 10 years old.
Okay, first of
all. And it was $40.
That's insanity. A Cupcake Royale, there's no way that coupon, that gift card's not lasting a week in my house.
Well, she didn't know what to do with that much money for going to Cupcake Royale. She's like, how am I going to eat all these cupcakes? I'm like, you tell me, and I will eat these cupcakes.
Wait.
Can't you just, like, use a little bit of the card and come back and use the rest?
That's kind of what you can do, yeah.
Yeah, well, she didn't really, I guess, think about it that way.
Going to spend all this money on cupcakes?
Yeah. Well, she could have treated the show when I wasn't on my diet.
It was holiday break, and you wouldn't have eaten the cupcakes anyway. You just said that, so.
No. Oh, before my diet.
I'll always make room for a cupcake.
Hey, look, and by the way, holidays is always going to be all bets are off for me. I'm not starving myself on the holidays.
I had one of those free entry admission cards, the little darlings. It was in my car.
And Steve, again.
And it was like 4 years old, so I was like, oh, this is not going to serve any good, so I threw it away.
Oh.
Why?
Because it said it expired 4 years ago.
Expired.
I feel like if you went there with it, they'd probably be like, all right.
Are you? Hey.
Just going to kick out a custy.
Okay.
You know, seriously, you're there. Just go, sure, here you go, and hopefully you make it up in drinks and crazy lap dances.
Or just kind of scratch that date out and make it like.
That's what irritates me about coupons with expiration dates. I understand they do it for whatever budgetary reasons, but the bottom line is you want to get somebody in the store.
Yep.
And so it irritates me. It's a company I won't mention. They send out a lot of coupons, and I don't always need their product. I even tell the guy, I go, look, I'm here for one product. I get it maybe every 2 months. That's all I do with your company, and I'm almost not even wanting to do it anymore. I said, there's an online place I could go to, but I'm trying to be a nice brick and mortar guy.
Right.
But you really irritate me with your coupon policy because they send out the paper ones and then the ones online and they don't work. And I'm just like, guys, it's so frustrating. Why can't you? You know, I'm a customer. I'm buying your product. Just give me the damn discount. That's why I'm here. It's the only reason I can still buy from you people.
Thanks for tuning in to Grandpa Talk on the Rob.
Is it just me? Yeah, it's me. All right,
yes, fine. It's just you. You get so worked up over coupons because they don't accommodate to how you want to use them.
It's 2019. I think that there's a new supermarket opening up. They're doing it, Microsoft and QFC and Bella Bottega. No, they're going to open up where it's like guides you. It targets you and sends stuff to your phone and guides you. It's like a super, like the way we're supposed to shop in the future.
Okay.
And then we got the Amazon Go next door to us.
Okay.
Those places are awesome.
Right.
And their prices are amazing.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying to these other companies, you got to get with it, brother.
Yeah.
Because, again, they're not doing it just for old people. What about the young people like Vicky?
She says, I don't know if Vicky's a good call because she's got like a purse that has people in it, I think. Are you a coupon person?
Sometimes. Like, I get the online coupons.
See?
But not often.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of lazy.
It's got to be all online. They should stop giving me anything paper coupon anymore. That's just the dumbest thing.
So it says gift certificates and cards cannot expire in Washington.
Really?
Washington State has a law that says gift cards do not expire.
Really?
It's legally not allowed.
Can you send me the RCW on that? Seriously.
I'm not doing that kind of work. You have the internet.
No, not you.
Google
the listener.
You going to make them do more work?
Well, yeah, you know what? We give them this great entertainment. At least they can do is RCW me.
I don't know. This coupon talk, I don't know if I would define it as great entertainment.
Coupon talk. All right, yesterday, Steve, he got this one wrong.
What is the upward curving part of the front of a saddle called?
Horn?
No.
Stirrup?
No.
Curve?
No.
Yeah. I had never heard of this word, pommel. But when we had Mitch on yesterday, Mitch was like, you know, Mitch Levy said, oh, yeah, the pommel horse in gymnastics. I'm like, oh, all right.
I still don't know what that is.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah. I can't even spell pommel.
You want a shot at beating Steve? 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.